It's helpful financial food for thought. You're listening to Market Wrap with Mo Ansari.
Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, and you're tuned in as you've been doing so for over 25 years now. And as always, wherever you are, from Miami to Seattle, from California to the East Coast, and let's not forget all of you in the Hawaiian Islands, you can pick up the phone, give me a call, and I will be more than happy to share with you my nearly 38 years of trading experience. But for the next few minutes, hold your calls. We are going to go to our guest line, as we do this time of the day every day. And today on our guest line is Jim Mosquera. He's the editor and publisher of the Sentinel Financial Report. The Sentinel Financial Report inspired Mr. Mosquera to author the book, Escaping Oz, Protecting Your Wealth During the Financial Crisis. He is also a commodity trading advisor. Mr. Mosquera began trading futures in 1987, was highly successful during the stock market crash of that year. He also warned many out of the stock market to avoid the dot-com burst of 2000. Mr. Mosquera, welcome to Market Wrap.
Good afternoon, Mo. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, Jim, it's my pleasure. You recently wrote an article titled Complacent Investor in Danger. Can you explain why you feel the complacent investor is in danger? And why do we have complacency now? I mean, do you think we have complacency now?
Yeah, and normally what I do is, rather than just being subjective about feeling a certain sense of complacency, which I will admit there is a subjective sense of complacency to me, but being from an engineering background, I like to take a look at the numbers. And one of the things I look at is something called the Investors Intelligence Advisor Survey, and that takes 100 independent newsletter authors, advisors, and tries to determine what their current market posture is. The survey's been in existence for over 50 years, so it's not something that's brand new that just got generated. It is a contrarian sentiment indicator, meaning that when there's a strong bullish sentiment evidence within the authors and advisors, it typically means that we're closer to a top than we are to a bottom. Recently, I saw that the advisor survey noted about 62% bulls, and that does count as an extreme reading. And by historical comparison, since 1987, so the year of the great crash of 87, there have only been three readings above 62%. The other two occasions were 2005, right around the time of the real estate top, and of course in 2007, preceding the historical stock market top of that time. And there's another index that I look at, which is the Financial Stress Index, created by the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, and it measures things like the VIX and some other sentiment type indicators. And it has also been registering some very, very complacent, historically low rates, which, again, a contrary sentiment indicator.
So you think that the market but when you talk to the individual investor, they're still scared to death that the world is going to fall apart and we're going to go back to the 2008 scenario. The individual investor is still scared to death of this market.
Yeah, I think you're right to some degree, and I read the articles on Yahoo, and I hear some of those comments. But technically speaking, candidly speaking, some of the actions that I see being taken speak to the contrary. Now, maybe the individual investor is scared, but they're relying a lot, obviously, on their financial advisors and financial planners, some of the larger investment houses, to probably guide their investment directions, as you would expect.
Right. But
what you're relating to is actually of something very interesting, which is kind of that underlying sentiment that does exist in the country that speaks to the social mood of the country, of which, the social mood tends to drive, investment and stock market behavior.
When you talk social mood, I think about Robert Prechter, because he's come up with the social index, and he talks about that quite a bit. We should schedule Bob. I haven't talked to Bob in some time. So that's one of the things that he looks at, is the social mood of the country. When you talk about the 62% reading that we have on the Investors Advisor Service, but it was above that in 2005, and the market continued to go up for 2 years after that.
It did. You're absolutely right. But keep in mind, as I highlighted, there wasn't a very, very important event that happened around 2005, 2006, which was the real estate top. And these measures obviously aren't perfect, but they do indicate, again, sentiment. And whenever you see something that's a market that's this complacent, and again, I understand what you said earlier about that there's some investor angst at the same time. but you know, their actions tend to belie, you know, some of the things that I'm reading on some of these sentiment indicators. So the fact that it occurred in 2005, yeah, it was a little bit before the actual stock market top. It coincided with the real estate top. And then, of course, 2007 was a defining moment for that sentiment indicator, which, of course, indicated that very historic top.
We are talking to Jim Mascara. He is the editor and publisher of the Sentinel Financial Report. Jim, in the article, you also ask if the bull is continuing its charge or if the bear is lurking. How would you answer that question? Do you think the bear is lurking? And if it is, what would confirm to you that we are starting a correction or a bear market?
Well, let's say that the bear is lurking and maybe starting to clear its throat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I actually look at some other measures that, okay, so that's kind of more of a sentiment indicator we were talking about. Mm-hmm. I had developed a trend-following algorithm. You mentioned earlier about my commodity trading. So I apply the trend-following algorithm to different markets, of which, you know, certainly the stock market can be one. Mm-hmm. I have three different time horizons for that. There's a short, medium, and a long-term time horizon. The short-term horizon looks at, let's say, daily price movement. Medium is weekly patterns, and the long-term indicator focuses on monthly price action. And you've probably seen charts that have price movements even in the 5 minutes increments. But I just chose those three for my own, you know, my own personal use.
Mm-hmm.
Since, let's say, when I'm looking at this year, you know, the short-term indicator can obviously oscillate the most of all of those three.
Right.
You know, so throughout the course of a given year, the short-term indicator can change from bullish to bearish and vice versa many times because, again, it is a trend-following indicator. And since I did trade commodities, that's what I was interested in, was a trend. Prior to the last week of July, you know, July last month, the short-term indicator turned bearish in the Dow. And that was only one time other than that it had occurred in the year 2014. So the short-term indicator has been very, very bullish all year. The medium-term indicator didn't turn bearish in January of this year, nor did it turn, you know, the last week of July, first week of August of this year either. Since the market bottom of 2009, that indicator, the medium one for me, mm-hmm. has turned bearish only twice, mm-hmm. in June of 11 and then in May of 12. The long-term indicator, which would be the, let's say, the coup de grace, has never turned bearish since the 2009 bottom. So if you look at all three time horizons, since 2009, they've been overwhelmingly bullish. Now, if I trust my own work, I would say that if I see the medium-term indicator turn bearish, then I'm going to start to pay a lot of attention. And, of course, once the long-term trend indicator changes for me, again, in my system, my trend-following algorithm, that would be a very, very confirming event for me that the market has, in fact, turned.
So the short-term indicator turned down. We went through the correction earlier on this month, the 3-4% correction. Did that relieve that, and now it's turning bullish again, or is it still bearish?
Yeah, I haven't run it, but I would say it's probably resumed bullish at this point. But again,
okay. You
know, the fact that a short-term indicator changed like that, for me, is not that important as an investor. Now, as a trader, it is important,
right?
Because I can get in and out of positions much more quickly. But for the general investment public, just because that short-term indicator change, it's something that, okay, I can pay attention to it, grab my attention a little bit. The medium-term indicator were to change, it would grab my attention a lot.
In your article, Jim, you also wrote that investors would be well advised to begin to position their portfolios for a quiet exit from the stock market. Most people don't think about exits. They're the hold and hopers, as I call them, the buy and holders. That's what I call them. And now we've got a new category, which I call the flip-floppers. And they flip and flop every other day. Unfortunately, most of the time, they're on the wrong side. They don't know if they're traders or investors, and they try to be both, and they're neither usually. How would you advise the person to start an exit strategy? Most people do not have one. They rely on their asset allocation to do that for them. How would you advise them to look at exit strategies? Would they raise cash? Would they buy bonds? Would they buy short funds? Would they buy leveraged short funds? What should they do?
And that's a really good question, Mo. In my book, Escaping Odds, that you mentioned earlier, and also on my website, I have something that I call my economic laws. And paired with those economic laws are two very simple investment laws that I've always talked to people about. And number one is having a plan for taking a profit. And the second one is having a plan for taking losses. As a former commodity trader, it was very, very important for me to follow my investment law number two, which is have a plan for taking losses, because you always want to minimize those losses in commodity trading because it can be very volatile.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, the thing that's always kind of astounded me is when I talk to people, and this was very, very endemic around the year 2000, and people would boast to me, yeah, I've got, you know, X percent gain in this stock and so forth, and I would always ask them, well, tell me what your plan is for exiting that position. You know, at what point in time will you say, okay, I've had enough, I've done sufficiently well with this investment, now I can cash it in and move on to the next trade? And I find that most people don't really have that. And I know a lot of people work with financial advisors, and that would be something that if I had a financial advisor that I was working with, I would very, very succinctly discuss with them, tell me what my plan is after I've made a certain amount of profit in a particular investment, what's my exit strategy for that? Because I think that's really, really important, because, you know, there's probably some number of people at any given point in time, some number of investors have a lot of paper profits, but they haven't been actualized yet. And I think that's just a very, very important strategy to have.
Jim, last question. We have about 90 seconds left. What is your short-term and long-term outlook for the equity market between now and the end of the year? Do you think, where are we headed? And then in 2015?
Short-term outlook, again, I would say, you know, until I see something that shows me that the market has changed, the equity market has changed, it's still a bullish run.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's very, very important, an article I wrote also, a different one than the one you referenced, is to look at some potential long-term action. Mm-hmm. There's a stock pattern or chart pattern called the megaphone, the alligator jaws of death, also known as an expanding triangle. If you look at a chart of the Dow Jones Industrials, and it goes all the way back to, let's say, 1998, mm-hmm. and I can draw a very, very good megaphone pattern. And what will happen is, when you look at that megaphone pattern, the expansion of that triangle is such that upon completion of that movement, the subsequent fall in the market will be very, very severe. Mm-hmm. Now the question is the timing of that, right? That's the $64,000 question that nobody really knows.
Right.
But again, I would say we're much closer to a top than a bottom right now.
And then in 2015, do you think what happens to the market?
Again, your guess is probably as good as mine, because I can look at a chart and I could say, you know what, this megaphone pattern is almost perfect, and it has such breadth from 1998, and now we're 2014, so it's a 16-year pattern. Has not occurred ever in the stock market like that. And again, when you look at where the market can fall after that, the bottom range of that right now is below 5,000 Dow. So, I mean, the subsequent fall can be very, very steep. The timing of which, you know, I have some cycles that show stock market bottoms in 2016 and 2017. So the bottom in 2015, probably not, I would say, after that.
Jim, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule, being with us today. It's a pleasure. I enjoy technical analysis, and I'm glad you're looking at charts and graphs, and I love all the different chart patterns that you're talking about. I do appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Mo.
That is Jim Mascara. He's the editor and publisher of the Sentinel Financial Report. It's really nice to see somebody doing technical work. And as you know, he's been a commodity trader, which I, you know, that's where it started in the 70s. I didn't want to mention that to him. I just wanted to see what he was saying. It was really interesting. He's looking at charts. He's looking at doing his homework. He's talking about the megaphone set up in the markets. And he's looking at the investor advisor survey. Great, great way. And I really like this article, Complacent Investors in Danger. And they're always in danger. I mean, people who are the hold-and-hopers, they are in danger. The new category now, the flip-floppers, they're getting flipped and flopped. And finally, they're just going to flop and just give up. They're going to take their final flop, and their account will take the final flop, and they will give up finally. But that's a newer category. Instead of the hold-and-hopers, I call them the flip-floppers. But he has got some great articles, and if you want, I'll give you access to this article. Call right now how you can get the Complacent Investor in Danger. 1-800-388-9700. 1-800-388-9700. Don't forget, on Thursday, that is tomorrow, I'm going to be in San Francisco. I have still one appointment available if you want to call. Make an appointment. I will sit down with you personally. We'll develop a plan. We'll develop an exit strategy. 1-800-388-9700. 1-800-388-9700. Stay tuned. I'm going to take a short break, and I will be right back.